You're listening to the Addicted to Fitness podcast, brought to you by Elemental Training Tampa. Now, here's your hosts, Nick and Shannon Birch.
Thank you for stopping by and checking out this week's episode of the Addicted to Fitness podcast. We really appreciate you guys listening, and we'd really, really appreciate it if you guys share these episodes with a friend. Also, we would love it if you go and give us a rating or review on iTunes or whatever podcast app you listen to us. We can really use that, and with your help, we'll start building our audience and reaching more people. We got a lot of interesting health and fitness topics we're going to talk about today, and to let you know what those topics are, I'm going to throw it over to my lovely co-host sitting next to me.
Well, thank you for that wonderful handoff. So today, we're going to be going over a particular food group, dairy. Mm-hmm. I feel like people have strong feelings about dairy. They either love it, or they hate it, or they wish they could eat it, or they can't. So we're going to talk dairy, and then Nick has a special rant he would like to go on about a product.
Yeah, I saw it this week, and it just kind of sent me on into a tirade, but I'm going to save the tirade for later.
Love a good rant.
Yes. So, but first, we're going to talk a little ETT news. For everybody who's just new to the podcast, ETT stands for Elemental Training Tampa. It is the fitness community and personal training outfit I started way back in 2014. Feels like forever ago.
I know.
But one thing we started way back when the business for the communities first started was we were doing free group workouts. It was kind of, it may end up being on a monthly basis, but I mentioned that because we just got back for this month's free ETT group workout.
Mm-hmm.
And what we did, we went down to the Tampa River Walk, which is a nice little area in downtown Tampa. It's a nice, I think it's 2.5 miles now of continuous sidewalk without any crossing any streets or anything like that.
It's pretty impressive now. It goes from Waterworks. I think you only have to cross one street for 2 or 3 miles, and then you can hook up with Bayshore, and that's just one.
Yeah, it's another 5 miles essentially.
Sidewalk.
Yeah, it's obviously it's a little. This is a little bit of local news. If you're outside of the Tampa area, it wouldn't pertain to you, but if you ever visit, you definitely want to visit the Riverwalk while you're here because it's awesome. You can bike it. There's some bike shares on the long. You can get a bike and go down. They're wide enough. You can run.
You can get
bike.
Those water bikes down there.
Oh, yeah. Little water bikes.
I still want to try.
It's like a paddle boat bike kind of thing.
It's like style. The big tires and like, you see them at the beach and stuff too, but they've got river versions.
Because it's for right along the river, i.e. Riverwalk, makes sense, right? And so we got a group together down there, and we did a nice run and some stair climb, and we did some striking exercises and some ab exercises, but it was a good turnout. The weather is getting somewhat bearable nowadays, so we got out there and had a good turnout, and it was great. I love doing those kind of free sessions to not only introduce ETT to other people, but also to kind of just, you know, provide free fitness for folks, because I think that's an important thing to do. And after, on our way home, we visited a local coffee place that I'm a fan of, and Shannon was her first visit.
Oh my gosh, I'm in love.
I want to give him a shout out to our guy Greg at Spatty's Coffee, right on Florida Avenue. And we were talking, obviously we're both kind of new entrepreneurs, business owners in the area, so we were talking back and forth, and possibly the idea of hosting a pop-up workout at his location, which I think would be really cool.
Well, it's such a kind of cute location. It's literally nestled right in between the Cuban Bakery on Florida, which means you're smelling bread while you're standing there waiting for your coffee. It's amazing. And then there's a kind of like, it's called Vintage Post right next door. And it's kind of like a home decor type of shop. And between those two is nestled this wonderful little coffee. I guess it's like a truck. I mean, it's on wheels, but it's a semi-permanent. And they've got this awesome little setup with tables and shaded areas and grass and...
Mm-hmm.
It would be a fun place for a workout.
Yeah, I mean, besides the bread smells wafting into your face.
Which I love. Which is awesome, but
it's tough. I think it's almost demotivating for a workout. Or maybe it motivates you to work out harder so you can afford to try a little Danish or pastry afterwards. But just wanted to shout out to Spatty's Coffee because we're huge fans of coffee. So, and I love the fact that they're popping up more and more in our neighborhood.
Great place, yeah.
So, also, in relation to talking about neighborhood and the ETT, I had a new potential client try out ETT this week, and she is also lives in the neighborhood. She's like 3 minutes driving from our house, which is great, very convenient for me, but totally. Also it helps me kind of pursue the goal of helping people in the community, not only, you know, ETT community itself, but the community I live in, literally live in. So I'm still waiting to hear if she's going to enlist ETT services, but, you know, she's kind of part of the community now, so I'm glad we're growing each and every week. So those was kind of the ETT training news for the week, and I know you got back to exercising this week, so you're feeling, you're kind of getting back on track.
Yep, I had a couple weeks where I really wasn't able to do that much, and this week I got back on it. I did some HIIT workouts, I did some spinning, obviously participated in the group training today, which was running and HIIT and striking, and it was really good to be back. You know, I can feel just how far behind I am, you know, compared to my normal, but there's just something really amazing about getting back into it. It's motivating to feel like you're automatically seeing these results. You know, you feel the sore muscles. I was walking around a couple days where I kind of groaned when I sit down. It's like, oh yeah, it feels good because your legs are so sore. I sounded probably a little odd, but it felt great.
Yeah, you love that you're a little bit of a glutton. That's how you know you're like... I'm feeling good is when I feel sore.
Yeah, I'm like, I am. I'm a little bit glutton for
punishment.
Post-training punishment.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it's a good sign that you're working muscles, you know, as long as you're not permanently injured or anything like that.
Yeah.
Sore is good, but the injured.
Sore that, like, when you move, you just kind of feel like you can feel the muscles you're flexing and you're like, oh, I forgot about that one.
Mm-hmm.
That's the good stuff.
Mm-hmm. One way to prevent soreness or what they claim is, you know, proper nutrition after exercising, and we're going to jump into a nutrition topic right now, and we're going to talk about dairy. Like you said in the intro, dairy is one of those topics
kind of polarizing.
It's so weird to me. It's not weird to me, but one, I love this. You know, obviously vegans, they don't eat any dairy. They don't eat any animal byproducts, essentially.
I used to be one.
Yes, you used to be one, a part of that crew. But a lot of things, and I wouldn't say this is necessarily from vegans, but I've heard the claim against, like, drinking milk. You said humans are the only mammals that drink the milk of another mammal.
I've actually said that, yeah.
Well, one of my favorite podcasters, comedians, and also a commentator, Joe Rogan said, yeah, that's true. He's like, humans are also the only mammals that fly planes, build computers, and they call other humans.
Biologically, though.
And they said, they call other humans and talk about how awesome milk is. So, I mean, comparing us to other mammals is a little bit tough since we do a lot of different things.
But biological. And the argument, I'm going to get on my, like, previously vegan soapbox here and say the argument for that is not what humans are capable of. We know humans are capable of a lot more. However, our bodies, like other animals, are built with certain tolerances.
Yeah.
And no other animals actually go to another larger animal really for sustenance from milk. So, you know, they stick within kind of their species.
Why?
Because your stomach is made to tolerate certain types. We as humans are made to consume human milk as children. That was sustenance. But as far as dairy goes, you have an animal the size and structure of a cow that milk is different than what a human's stomach is set up for. So a lot of people have a lot of dairy sensitivities because of their sensitivity to lactose, which is very heavy in cow's milk because of the, look at the size of the cow.
Right.
That milk is meant to sustain an animal of that size and structure. Humans are not that size and structure. So biologically, we're not really accustomed or equipped to be processing and digesting cow's milk as well. Smaller animals, they actually, our bodies can are more equipped to digest.
I don't know how necessarily true that is. I found an article from Self, I think it was Self Magazine, that, and I knew this kind of, some of these topics I knew about beforehand. Like you were talking about the sugar molecule in dairy, lactose, the enzyme in our bodies called lactase is what's used to break it down. Mm-hmm. And not all humans have significant amounts of that enzyme.
Mm-hmm.
It actually varies a lot by ethnicity. Northern Europeans have a lot of lactase enzyme in the body, so they're able to process it a lot better than, say, Asian Americans. Yeah, Mediterranean. So that's why, like, Scandinavian people, they're able to drink milk.
Yep.
So it varies a lot on your ethnicity. I understand the size of the lactose dose, but even sheep's and goat's milk does have lactose in it. I mean, I think it's all about kind of. Also, you can be very deficient in the lactase enzyme. And you can be intolerant to lactose altogether. But a couple forms of ways that you can still enjoy dairy products, not necessarily milk, is items that have less lactose, like hard cheeses.
Mm-hmm.
They have less lactose, like a Parmesan or a cheddar. Yogurt, fermented milk, also changes the lactose molecule and is easier to break down by your body. And not to mention, we've talked about it before, yogurt has tons of active bacteria cultures that is really important for your gut health.
Yep.
There's a couple. This was an article from self.com. It's actually from April of this year. It's called 8 Things No One Ever Tells You About Being Lactose Intolerant. And of course, the 8 things are not coming up there. They are. So it's I'm just going to read the main topics, okay? Most of us are heading for lactose intolerance. That's another one that says kind of what you alluded to. Mm-hmm. And also, as you get older, you start losing that lactase enzyme even more.
See, I was the next one you're talking about. As a baby, I couldn't actually drink any kind of milk. Like, I wasn't breastfed as a child because I couldn't digest it even then.
Wow.
I was lactose intolerant from the day I was born.
Yeah. And the fact that you can't use mother's milk either, that's a...
Yeah, I was a formula baby.
Yep, so like you said, number 2 was babies can be lactose intolerant too. And then number 3, we kind of touched on some ethnicities are more likely to develop it than others. And this is lactose intolerance, what they're referring to. Lactose intolerance doesn't affect everyone the same way. Okay, it's naturally, or kind of, that's kind of logical. You know, your body processes it differently. It could be cramping or anything like that. Symptoms tend to kick in shortly after downing dairy, so there's an immediate effect.
They do.
You may still be able to eat certain types of cheese and yogurt, and that's what we were kind of talking about. Now, this is the thing, because dairy is one of those products that is high in specific essential nutrients.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of nowadays milk you see is fortified with vitamin D, even though a recent podcast we talked about, you know, how vitamin D really should be getting it from the sun and, you know, dietary.
Ideally.
Yeah, dietary or supplements, because dietary sources aren't as easily, you can't access the vitamin D as much, and they don't carry as much as you need on a day-to-day basis. Number 8, the final one, you may be able to build up your tolerance a bit. Oh, I want to read this real quick. So basically, they says if you kind of...
if you have moderate to severe symptoms of lactose intolerance, consuming small amounts can actually help to develop
tolerance for it. I mean, we don't drink milk. I can't remember the last time we bought milk. We buy half and half. We buy heavy cream for our coffee. But that's small doses. I mean, that's like two tablespoons here and there.
Yeah.
But we're big on hard cheeses and yogurt. So
yeah, they're saying a quarter cup is a small dose.
Right.
Two or three times a day.
Of milk.
Yeah.
Is that what they
dairy,
say? Or of
yeah.
dairy in general. Okay. So like I said, there's a lot of important. There's a lot of important.
A lot of important stuff.
There's a lot of important stuff and nutrients in dairy products, especially like calcium and things like that. So I think it's important food for you to incorporate into your diet if able to, you know, and
yeah.
even in small amounts, it's good for you. So we're going to talk about the varieties of milk that are available nowadays. We're not going to get too much into the nutrient kind of breakdown.
That's a big conversation.
Yes, because they vary wildly between. But you know, everybody since they have the dairy intolerance, really, I think, gosh, probably been. I mean, I'm sure there were these milk alternatives back, you know, 20 years ago, but nowadays
it
seems
like
they're...
Yeah, but it was mostly lactaid. Like, I've been lactose intolerant my whole life, and I had to be treated for it because basically I was so lactose intolerant that I could barely eat food because a lot of what we have, like, even if there's a little bit of milk or dairy in it, I would get really ill.
Right.
So my heart goes out to anybody that has that situation, but... Yeah, basically, it was just lactate. When I was a teenager, now I'm going to date myself here, but probably about 15, 20 years ago, there was nothing for alternatives. Like,
right.
there really wasn't. You go into the store, you see lactate, and then you'd see all the different types of regular milk.
Mm-hmm.
And lactate wasn't that great. Like, you couldn't drink it. You couldn't really bake with it. So... anybody that had to drink it was kind of, they had to suffer more.
Yeah, nowadays though,
changed.
There's tons of options.
Holy cow.
I mean, we've got almond milk. We've got coconut milk. We've got soy milk.
Cashew milk.
Now.
Hemp milk.
There's got to be more than
I'm
missing.
Yeah, I'm sure there's like, there's coconut milk
coconut,
and there's
yeah.
coconut, like the heavy cream.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I use coconut milk in my coffee in the morning to add a little fat to it because it's got fat in it, and then my coconut oil too.
I'm pretty sure there's a whole aisle of milks.
Yeah.
In like alternative milks in Whole Foods.
Right. Yeah.
It's just like endless aisle of different options.
Yeah, and then they got goat's milk and everything now, and now even the higher quality cow's milk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because now with the grass-fed milk and, you know, organic milk, which does make a difference. I mean, the nutrients in grass-fed dairy is different from that's in regular conventional raised dairy. But there's another milk that is becoming, I don't know if popular is the right word, but it's kind of been in the news lately.
Yep.
And I think I'm going to have try to get a hold of it to do the next taste test for the podcast.
Joy.
It's cockroach milk.
You might be on your own for that one.
What? You're
I'm
not going to
join
the cockroach milk taste test?
I see enough cockroaches living in Florida. I don't want to try their quote-unquote milk.
Yeah, apparently I just read there was an NPR article I was looking at that came out pretty recently, and it was talking about how cockroach milk may be the most nutritious food out there. You know, definitely the most nutritious milk.
Can't see me, but I'm like gagging right now.
It's an interesting process because obviously it's not milked like a cow is milked. Apparently it produces some sort of kind of like crystalline or crystals that then somehow they're manufacturing into a milk. So I don't know.
So they don't have nipples so you can't milk
them? Yeah,
Little movie quote?
I got milk. I got nipples. I got milk, Greg. I got nipples, Greg. Can you milk me? Oh, God. Maybe that's the title of the episode. But yeah, so it's supposed to be, because apparently buffalo milk, and I don't know what kind of buffaloes they were using, but they said buffalo milk was like the top of the most nutritious milks there are, and apparently this blows it out of the water as far as fat and protein content.
Oh, jeez.
So I'm going to see how I can get my hands on some cockroach milk and then maybe taste it on an upcoming podcast. But speaking of milk... my rant that I'm about to go on involves a milk product.
Mm-hmm.
This week we were looking through, we get these, somehow somebody gave us a subscription to, like,
yeah, we ended up with a subscription to Rachel Ray magazine, which it's actually good. They've got, it's just basically recipes and stuff. Have no idea how we've got it. We've literally had it and not, I mean, I hate to say it, don't, we're not trying to break laws. We haven't actually subscribed. Like, I haven't paid a subscription fee ever.
Yeah.
And yet every month it's delivered to us without fail.
Yeah.
Kind of the same thing with Better Homes and Gardens, yeah, too. They're going to hunt me down now and be like, oh, you.
What about Martha Stewart? We get that, too.
I paid for that one. Martha doesn't just give you magazines. That's true. Yeah.
She's a shrewd businesswoman. So. Okay, so what I saw, there was a full-page ad in one of these magazines. And obviously, I'm not putting Rachel Ray on blast. I mean, it's a magazine. No, it's, that's how they are, exist, is by selling ad space. It was from a True Moo product. True Moo is, I guess, a milk company. And they, I guess their forte, or they kind of their niche, is selling flavored milk. So they sell strawberry milk, chocolate milk. I mean, I didn't really see anything, just plain milk.
Well, the one that caught our attention, it was like an orange creamsicle or something like that. Yeah,
Orange Scream.
Yeah.
So it's a Halloween, you know, milk? It's kind of like a seasonal special around Halloween. Mm. And it's orange flavor. It's supposed to be like the orange creamsicle ice cream flavored. What really, there's several things that pissed me off about it. it's a low-fat milk. I'm going to go over the ingredients real quick. Low-fat milk, obviously they remove some of the fat because people still believe that fat's going to make you fat. And, of course, in order to do that, they have to add something to it to make it taste better. Well, here are the ingredients for the Orange Scream from True Moo. Low-fat milk, liquid sugar, which is sugar water, contains less than 1% of natural flavors, carrageenan, color added vitamin A, palmitate, and vitamin D3. So, obviously you guys will probably guess what I'm most pissed about was the liquid sugar that's added to this product. Normal True Moo low-fat milk has 12 grams of sugar per 8-ounce glass. This has 20 grams of sugar per 8-ounce glass.
Jeez.
Meaning they're adding 8 grams of sugar, which is 2 teaspoons, to every 8-ounce serving.
Might as well have a brownie.
Every 8-ounce serving.
It's more.
You get a half a jug, or excuse me, a half-gallon jug. You know, that's what? So that's 8 grams, 64 grams of added sugar to the jug.
Oh, you know? That's a little terrifying, to be honest.
I mean, it's unbelievable. And then this is specifically marketed to children.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there's no two ways about it. This comes out every year around the Halloween. But this time they're marketing, they're attaching it onto a upcoming DreamWorks movie.
That Trolls movie.
Yeah, some Trolls movie.
Yeah, which looks good.
Yeah, so they're promoting it in conjunction with that.
Has your man JT in it?
Oh. I'm ranting about this.
Don't break my rant. Yeah.
So this product, which they're selling directly to children, has 8 grams of added sugar water to each cup. And they have the audacity to put on there, no high fructose corn syrup or GMOs. Oh, really? Well,
yeah.
Congratulations.
This is a great example of reading the label before you give in to the advertising. Now, I work in advertising, so I mean, more than ever do I have some insight into this, but they can say what it doesn't have blatantly on an ad. Like, that you can do that. That's totally legit. It's commonly done. This particular product touts the fact that it doesn't have fructose syrup, but it's also has a totally different kind of high sugar content.
Yeah.
So I know that there's like whole like ad campaigns around like fructose syrup and things like that. But at the end of the day, it's refined sugar. And
the second ingredient is sugar water.
This is what they're recommending kids drink. Like they're trying to push this on kids, and like I'm sure actually this would fit within the dietary guidelines that our government recommends children.
Exactly. It's low fat milk.
So it's qualified as low fat because it doesn't have this particular thing, but it has so much sugar in it.
Yeah, that's scary. And luckily, it sounds like what I've heard of late is that the USDA is finally kind of cracking down on added sugars. But this is unbelievable. I mean, this is perpetuating an epidemic that we're having. We talked about the obesity epidemic, and it's up almost 35% of Americans, adults, are obese.
Yep.
With another about 33% going into the overweight. So over 2/3 of the Americans are overweight. And now it's reaching into children, too.
Oh, yeah.
They're starting younger and younger. I've just checked the CDC, the most recent CDC stats for childhood obesity. It says childhood obesity has more than doubled in children and quadrupled in adolescents in the past 30 years.
I mean, I know we were talking earlier. We ate some really processed crap children. You know, like hot dogs, Cheetos, bring it on. But when you really think about everything you kind of hope our society's learned over time, there's still so much processed crap that is pushed on kids.
Right.
And it's the stuff that you buy in the grocery stores. Like, that's the majority of it. Never mind restaurants. Forget them. Like, honestly, it's a small part. It's the stuff you buy at your grocery store and that you send your kids off to school with.
Right. Yeah, and schools aren't much better. We kind of talked about that in a past podcast about the recommended, dietary guidelines for child care providers and schools.
Yeah.
The percentages are children ages 6 to 11 years in the United States who were obese increased from 7% in 1980 to nearly 18% in 2012. Similarly, the percentage of adolescents aged 12 to 19 years who were obese increased from 5% to nearly 21% over the same time period.
Yeah.
In 2012, more than 1/3 of children and adolescents were overweight or obese.
And how much has education around food increased in that time frame? None.
Yeah, I mean, it was all the no-fat and low-fat craze. Everything was no-fat, low-fat.
But we don't teach kids or, hell, we don't even teach parents about food. Like, this is everything you have to go out of your way to get. That's my rant.
Well, yeah, but it was being promoted by the federal government. I mean, the food pyramid.
Yeah.
The biggest thing you were supposed to eat recommended was grains, things that are high GI index that turn into sugar once your body breaks them down.
Yep. So now it's time to try to undo all of that. And still, I feel as though, minus that the food plate or whatever they call it.
Yeah. My plate.
That's the only thing that people are taught in schools. I mean, I used to have a health program, but they didn't teach you about food. They just taught you about activity and STDs and all important issues. But food is kind of a basic, people.
Right. I agree. And I've heard it from multiple people about how doctors, regular general practitioners don't even get a lot of nutrition education. So, it's got to start at the highest level. I mean, we just need better information.
Yep.
And I think we're getting more and more information as we go on. So hopefully we'll start righting the wrongs and start turning around. But what you should do on your own, especially parents out there, is read the label. And anything that has their second most ingredient has liquid sugar as it added, don't buy it.
Yeah, and maybe an upcoming podcast, if anyone's interested, we can kind of break down what is in, all the foods sugar is in, look at sugar a little bit differently, and kind of break down what you should be looking for on your label for sugar. Because sugar's in almost everything that we consume. So kind of getting an understanding of how much you can be looking for. 20 grams is a lot of freaking sugar. Per 8 ounces, which is a serving.
Yeah.
So maybe we'll do a deep dive on kind of what you should be looking for and what is kind of more acceptable on a nutrition label.
Yeah.
Because I think so many people are so used to seeing sugar never mind the fact they haven't been taught to look at it that much, but I think it's how do you know what's a good amount of sugar when you've got 20 grams is in a glass of milk, 20 grams is in a cup of yogurt,
yeah,
flavored yogurt. How the heck do you know what's right. good and bad? And you go and look at like a cake and you're like, oh, well, it's got less than that.
Right.
Well.
Yeah. And then, I mean, the difference between fructose and
yeah,
glucose.
Yeah, we've talked about that before. But
yeah,
taking a little deeper dive on right. a future no. discussion.
And I think that's good because we might be talking about that maybe really sooner than later because our next interview for the podcast yes. is with a certified diabetes educator. Nicole Racine, I believe at Nicole Racine on Twitter. She's based out of Chicago, and like I said, she's a diabetes certified diabetes educator. So she deals with recommending diet for people that are dealing with diabetes, you know, type 1 and type 2.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be talking to her this week, and hopefully, well, not hopefully, you guys will be hearing that interview in the next probably a couple weeks out. Mm-hmm. We'll put it up for you guys to hear. I'm excited to talk to her because I've heard her on other podcasts, and I follow her on Twitter. So she always puts out a lot of good up-to-date information about, you know, proper nutrition, especially dealing with, you know, trying to minimize sugar intake.
Yeah.
Because just kind of what we were just alluding to, the child obesity levels are going up, so is childhood type 2 diabetes, which was almost non-existent 20
yeah,
years ago.
Yeah, and I mean, almost every single person knows somebody that's struggling with a form of diabetes now, too, whether it's young or old. Yeah. So it's definitely a highly relevant topic yeah, right. that people need information on.
Yeah, somebody close to me just got diagnosed as pre-diabetic.
Yep.
So it's something I'm excited to talk to her because I think everybody can benefit from it.
More to come.
Yes. So we got more of those interviews hopefully coming. I want to reach out to some other people to share so we can kind of broaden our knowledge about both fitness and nutrition. As I broaden my knowledge, I like sharing it with you guys. So, I mean, it's kind of yeah. the purpose of this podcast.
Well, we're not the experts, but we are passionate about this.
Right.
And we go out looking for the information and we go out looking for the experts. And
yes.
that's really what we're here to do is to start the conversations for those or get involved in the conversations and share experts with the information that is kind of answering all of those talking
mm-hmm.
points.
Yeah, so if you want to be a part of the team that shares all this new up-to-date information, you can share these episodes.
Mm-hmm.
You can give us a rating or review on iTunes. You know, you can send us a comment or, you know, like in your review, say who we should talk to. If we're
yeah.
not thinking about a certain health and fitness professional, just send us a tweet or something. You know, all the information will be on the outro. You guys can get a hold of us.
Yeah, and get involved in the conversation, whether it's with us or somebody else. Definitely let us know what you want to hear more about and what you're kind of most passionate about when it comes to these topics.
Yes. All right. I think we gave them enough information today. You got anything else?
I got nothing.
All right. This has been another episode of the Addicted to Fitness podcast, and we'll see you next time.
Bye.
If you want to learn more about Elemental Training Tampa, check us out on Facebook or go to our website, elementaltampa.com. You can also follow us on Instagram and Twitter under the handle ETTampa. Please rate and review the podcast. Your feedback will help us get better. Thanks. Test, test, test. 1, 2, jump two, jump two.
What does that mean?
Jump two? I don't know. I just saw it on a movie, so that's why I say it.
Oh.